The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. The book of 1 Kings chapter 19, reading from verse number 1. 1 Kings 19, from verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Can we hear a good amen from the reading of the word? I'm preaching on the topic, rise up and eat. Rise up and eat. The worship of Baal was almost overshadowing the worship of Yahweh in the land of Israel, because the king and his wife, Ahab and Jezebel, had allowed all kinds of gods to be imported into the land. For this reason, the prophet Elijah, the prophet of God, decided to stand to defend the faith. And it was at the risk of his life. So he made an open contest, that let's go on to Mount Carmel and let's settle this matter once and for all. If Baal be Baal, let's worship him. And if Yahweh be God, then him alone shall we bow down to. So they went to Mount Carmel, and the summary of the matter is, Elijah gave them opportunity to call fire from above upon their sacrifice, gave them time from morning to evening, but they could not bring down fire by the name of their gods. Then Elijah decided to call upon the name of his God, Yahweh. And within seconds, the fire of God had come down and licked all the sacrifice and consumed everything over there. And then some authority came upon Elijah, and he boldly ordered that the prophets of Baal, 450 50 in number were to be arrested and slain. So all these prophets were taken one by one. They were arrested and slain, and the king was present. King Ahab was present at the Mount Carmel experience, but he was quiet. He couldn't speak. He was dumbfounded. He saw the power of God, the manifest glory of God, and couldn't utter a word. And Elijah assumed political authority for a short while. So I'm sure when Ahab came home, he was not himself. And then Jezebel was not at the grounds. So Ahab narrated the matter to Jezebel. As soon as Jezebel heard it, she became annoyed. She became really infuriated. She became so annoyed that the words that came out of her mouth were simple, that she would kill Elijah. Now, she sent messengers with these words to be given to Elijah, that Elijah, in a space of 24 hours, if you do not become like one of them that you killed, then I'm not the queen. I mean, when Elijah heard this threat, I don't know what happened to him, but he began to fear. Fear entered him so much that Elijah began to panic. And the fear affected Elijah so much that he became terrified. And because of that, he began to run away. Elijah started running away initially with his servants. But when he got to a place, he asked the servants to leave him alone because he was afraid that if Jezebel knew where his servants were, that would reveal where he was hiding. So he got the servants to stay behind somewhere, and he continued walking, I believe, for the next 15 miles. Moved from somewhere midsection of the kingdom and came all the way down to the southern coast of the kingdom, which was a desert area. Elijah became so discouraged that he found a place to rest, and no other place but under a juniper tree. A juniper tree is like a broom, but it grows to the height sometimes of about 12 feet. You see, we sweep with the broom this way, but if you turn the broom upside down, then you have the juniper tree. Are you getting what I mean? Sweep with the broom this way, with a broad end to the ground. So if you turn it upside down, then it will give you the idea of a juniper tree. It was in a desert area, so this was a good area to go and sit down and rest. By this time, Elijah was depressed. He was disappointed. He had lost enthusiasm in standing for the Lord. And he was very discouraged and sat under the juniper tree and said, "Oh Lord, that you might slay me, for I am not better than my fathers." In other words, Elijah realized something, that his forefathers fought against these things. And it got to a place they couldn't continue. And he took the mantle to fight against Ahab and his institutionalized idol worship. And then he was conceding that, oh, he cannot go beyond the stage, and that God must take his life. Discouragement does not know whom a president is. And discouragement does not know whom a laborer is. Discouragement does not know a rich man, neither does he know a poor man. Otherwise, some rich men will never commit suicide. Discouragement does not know an uneducated person and a highly educated person. If education was the thing, then some highly educated people would never even take their lives. Discouragement can occur at the beginning of a venture. It occurred when Israel left Egypt at the banks of the Red Sea. And discouragement can occur in the middle of a venture. It occurred in the wilderness when there was shortage of water and there was shortage of food. And Israel began to complain and they murmured. Discouragement can occur at the end of a project or a venture. It occurred just before they entered Canaan. And so depressed were they that their negative complaints registered permanently before God, and their destinies were virtually cut short. That shall not be the testimony of anybody associated with this ministry. Can I hear an amen? I've had pastor friends who told me openly that there was a stage in their ministry where they nearly took their lives. One told me about how he had invested church's money in poultry business, and then all the chickens died. So he was hoping that that investment will yield money and that will help the church. So now the church came to ground zero. There was no money to do anything, nothing, absolutely nothing. He tried and tried and tried, nothing occurred, nothing improved. So he went to stand by a pool of water around Choko, how many know Chimwena? And he wanted to dive in and end his life. But while he stood there, he heard another voice that said, "Don't do it, because there is hope for the future." Oh, come on, put your hands together. I've heard politicians say that they were persecuted and they were frustrated and they were taken to court so much for no reason that they felt like taking their lives. I've heard parents say that, and I've heard Elijah in the Bible say that. But these things have been recorded for you and I, that we must never say so. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Because there is hope for the future. There is always a way where there is no way. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. Today may not be good, but tomorrow is pregnant with great opportunities, great possibilities, and great breakthroughs. It is only a matter of time. Oh, it may not be your time today, but it could be your time tomorrow morning. It may not be your time this week, but next week may belong to you. It may not be your time this month, but next month may be something overwhelming and amazing with the goodness of God. It may not have been your year last year, but I want you to have high expectations that before this year ends, you'll be laughing, you'll be smiling, you'll be rejoicing, you'll be clapping, you'll be celebrating, you will be dancing before the Lord. If I have witnesses here, let your amen be loudest in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, let your amen be louder, 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 louder in Jesus' name. For you, the believer, suicide must not cross your mind. No matter how ashamed you feel, whether it was your creditors who came daily to shame you and say that you bought something from them, and for 8 years now you've not been able to pay, endure those words. They are mere words of human being. Whether it was the media that harassed you and tried to put your name to shame, remember there is another day. Oh, where there will be a good report about you. Oh, the amen is not strong enough, somebody. So never feel that you have been put to shame so much. Your mind has the capacity, number one, to exaggerate things. And number two, to underestimate things. But your mind must see like God sees things. If God says they are bread for us, then they are bread for us. Oh, that is what Caleb said. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once, for they are bread for us. I declare to you this year, your enemies shall be bread to you. So, sometimes the news is just known among few people. How many people buy newspaper? How many people in this country have smartphones? And how many who have smartphones every day go and read negative information? Because there are periods you can't even touch your phone. Are you getting what I'm saying? And news, negative news, will always be displaced by another negative news tomorrow. Yesterday, it was the Black Stars. They failed to qualify at group stage. But now, it is some politicians. They are being kicked out of their constituencies. Oh, you are not getting what I mean. One negative news will come heavier and displace the previous negative news. So you have some time to see God's face and to gather strength and energy and to rise out of the ashes and start recovering. By the time they see you, they want to recognize that glory of God upon your life. Somebody shout amen. I say somebody shout a proper amen. Oh, so he jilted you and so what? I said cry a little, but save energy for prayers. Cry a little, but save energy to continue working in church. I said, cry a little, but don't cry so much that you become better and debilitated until people are carrying you around. I know. He may have jilted you, she may have left you like hot coal. But there is another day of rising again. My enemies, rejoice not over me when I fall. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light to me. You will arise. I say you will arise again. You are going to arise and arise again. Walk with your chest out. Come to the house of God and say, and so what? I am single, and so what? Never say God has failed you. You can say circumstances have been rough, but you believe God will give you grace to ride over it. God does not fail. He cannot fail. He's a winner. And when you employ him into your life and into your boat, he will help you navigate the storms. Oh, let me hear an amen. To be discouraged means to come to a place where you are dispirited. To be discouraged means to come to a place where you are disappointed. And if you allow that to rule your life, you may get to a place where you may no longer have strength even to get up. When people are discouraged, they cannot even pick the remote control and change the channel. They'll be lying there better like that. And the television channel, which they don't like, will be showing. But because they have lost so much energy, they cannot even get up. Some people sleep and wake up as if they have been jogging around the streets of Accra because they are tired already. But I'm prophesying to you, in your sleep, the strength of God shall fall upon you. The energy of God shall wake you up. Vitality shall be your portion. And as soon as you open your eyes, you will say, what a blessed day. What opportunities have been given to me. Jehovah, I thank you that I am a winner, that I'm an overcomer, that I'm more than a conqueror. If you know you are that, then put your hands together and shout to the Lord. Suicide will not be your portion. Can I hear an amen? It will not be your portion. If it has been going and coming today, I rebuke it. I destroy it from your life. I banish it from your life. I cast it down like a high thing. I cast it down like an imagination. And anything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, I bring it by the power of God into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. You will live for longer. And your days shall not be wasted. Every ordinary moment in your life shall be 10 extraordinary. Every moment of defeat shall be turned around to a moment of success and winning and victory. You will grow from grace to grace and from glory to glory. I say better days are yet to come. So prepare yourself and win the battle. So a disaster occurred, and so what? You will find me in the pulpit preaching. Oh, come on. For I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I have given you the spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. As for my sound mind, you cannot take it away. A negative event cannot take it away. Once I decide to meditate on the scripture, abundance of grace shall drop from the heaven. And God will speak to my spirit because my spirit is opened up to him. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? Job would have cursed God and died by the suggesting of the wife. But the man was strong mentally. He said, no, you are not a wise woman. Your suggestion will not be taken. I am still waiting. Though he slay me, yet will I continue to serve him. He says, even though things be destroyed now, on the last day, oh, come on, tell somebody on the last day. I don't like the way you are saying on the last day. Now say on the very, very last day, God will appear for me and he will turn my story around for the better. Now let me hear your wonderful clap this time. I said we are winning. I said we are breaking through. I said we are advancing. I said we are progressing. We are conquering more territory. What we couldn't do last year, by his grace, we will do this year. In the name of Jesus, the finances are coming. The monies are coming. The sponsorship is coming. The favors are coming. The open doors are coming. God will do something. He will heal our body. He will restore our strength. He will restore our energy. We shall not be weaker. Our body shall not fail. Shout amen and amen. While I'm preaching, God is touching somebody's bank account. Lord, include my bank account. I said, while I'm preaching, God is touching somebody's account. I don't know whether the account is under your pillow or in your wallet, on your bag, or at the bank, but whatever account it is an account. I was speaking to a man who didn't have from the beginning, and his struggles were worse than you and I. And now God has placed him in a position. He says, Reverend, if I had the opportunity, I would ask Christ to delay, because life is sweet. Some of you say, yes, don't commit suicide. Don't throw your Bible away. Don't stop attending church service. And don't stop serving in the house of God. So, Jezebel threatened Elijah, and Elijah found himself sitting under a juniper tree, a broom tree. And this tree provided shelter for Elijah. There were a few things that Elijah could have remembered. If he did, he would have spoken like David did. The God that delivered me from the paws of the bear and from the paws of the lion. Although this man is nearly 10 feet tall and over, that God shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Elijah, number one, has three things to remember. The first, that God led him to a brook called Cherith, a pool of water. And God commanded the ravens to feed him in the day, morning, and feed him in the evening. So Elijah didn't have to work. He was on a partial leave. God was hiding his life from the anger of Jezebel. But God provided for that. That time was when he had prophesied that there would be no rain for 3.5 years. So God fed Elijah by day and by night. I stand upon this word and I declare to you, the Lord shall feed you. He will feed you and your family. He will feed you and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. The Lord will feed you. So that was the first thing
that Elijah could remember about the power of God. The second thing Elijah could remember was about the widow of Zarephath. When the brook dried up, God led Elijah to a widow's house. And this widow had the last bit of food. So she was going to fetch 2 pieces of steak. Because if she got serious firewood, the food would get burnt. You know when you have leftover okra stew, and there is not much fluid around the okra stew, and you make the mistake of having a whole coal pot, big coal pot of fire, and you place it, the fire will lick the thing. Shoop. But as a wise person, you will find small fire so that you can heat it gently. And as soon as it gets to the desired temperature, whatever bankun is hiding somewhere, you will bring it and combine it with the thing until you will lick the corners. Oh, Masukataya. The woman was fetching only 2 pieces of steak so that she will carefully warm her food. And Elijah came and said, "Give me water to drink." Then she did. Then Elijah said, "Give me first to eat." Then the woman prepared the food and gave Elijah the portion. Then the man prophesied and said that this barrel of meal shall not finish in your house. And this barrel of oil shall not finish in your house until the next rainy season. Now, I am prophesying to you and saying food shall not get run out in your storehouse. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The provisions of God shall never dry up, for God shall do exceeding abundantly above that which you ask or think, according to his power that is working in your kitchen, working in your house, working in your business, and working in your marriage and your contracts. So that was the second thing Elijah could have remembered. The third thing occurred like 48 hours ago. It was the event at Mount Carmel, where the king himself was in attendance. He was seated there right in front of him. He was sure that the 450 prophets of Baal outnumbered Elijah. And who was Elijah? We haven't seen him before. But to his utter surprise, his men from morning to evening could not call down fire. Elijah stood there, "If I've done all these things in your name, then Jehovah, let fire come down and consume this world." The king must have been trembling. And Elijah stood there and authorized subjects, "Arrest these prophets of Baal, they are false prophets, and slay all of them." And they did that. And God protected him from the king. So how can this little queen, oh my God, some of you are running away from things you shouldn't be running away from. Some of you are having sleepless nights over things that you can easily ignore and have your good sleep over. Some of you have become so terrified that you cannot believe that this great and mighty God is greater than the enemy and can protect your life. Some of you have become so fearful that in a manner, in the days when the Midianites came to attack Israel, that they went to hide until God raised the man who faced the Midianites and defeated him. That man was afraid and couldn't even grind his maize or his corn or his wheat in the corn mill. But he went to where wine was produced, and he was hiding behind and producing it. God said, "Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Your people must stop running away from the enemy. I raise you and I anoint you to confront them. You will break down their altars and you will establish the will of God. Oh, why are you not shouting and clapping just for the glory of the Lord? Elijah could have, nobody could face him. There were spectators other than the 450. It could have been 1,000, it could have been 2,000 or more. Then this woman comes to say, in 24 hours, if my gods do not make you like one of the people you have killed, then they are not gods. But you defeated them, Elijah. You just defeated them on Mount Carmel. And she's vowing by her gods to destroy you. Ah! Some of the things we fear, as you mature, they will not frighten you again. Oh, can I hear an amen? Some people will mix some potions. Add bakposhito pepe. Add garden eggs. And pour it in front of your house. You wake up. You pray in the spirit. You pick a broom. You gather it. You take kerosene. You pour it over it and declare openly that the way kerosene has been poured upon it, so shall the one who did it be bent by heaven's fire. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Pastor, where we trade, when we left last night, somebody has come to pour something. And Pastor, I said, no. Don't be afraid. Sometimes there's nothing in it. It is just to drive you away. So drive them out rather. Oh, drive the Hivites out, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other. Drive them out. We must build our faith before the next general elections. Because you don't know who will win. Your faith must be rooted in God. So whoever wins, your destiny is still secure. You must say that whether it's party A or party B, I will still rise. I will still do very well. And this time, I am going to be more successful because God shall make it so for me. Let me hear amen. Let me hear amen. On that score, I know there are threats against our lives and they are real. And sometimes some of the threats, I don't know which people have delight in killing people and they are never satisfied with the number they have killed already and they are targeting you. I am declaring that as you are covered and as long as Jehovah liveth, as the blood of Jesus prevail, I declare to you, you shall not die. You shall not die. You shall, oh, come on. I said, you shall not die. Your amen is not as strong as my word. I said, you shall not die, but you shall live to declare the works of God. Shout amen. Your going out is covered. Your coming in is covered. You are covered in the city. You are covered in the village. You are covered in Ghana. You are covered in Sudan. I said you are covered. You are covered by the blood. You are covered by the presence of God. You are covered by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God will reveal the intentions of the enemy. And if they don't repent, they will go down the grave. They will go first. You will live to enjoy life. I'm not feeling enjoyment in your clapping. I say you will live long to enjoy life. Let me hear a resounding. They didn't know I would still be preaching.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have attacked me as an unbeliever. They didn't know I would still be preaching. Otherwise, they would not have attacked my health. They didn't know I would still be preaching. And I would still be preaching by the grace of God. I will still be strong. You have to say that for yourself. I'll be stronger and stronger. My voice will not quake, and my voice will not fail. There will be stronger anointing in my voice. Oh, let me hear an amen. So Elijah had three things. One was the brook Cherith. The second was the widow of Zarephath, miracle. And the third was the miracle on Mount Carmel. And Elijah would not reflect on any of these things of the power of God. Yet he allowed himself to be intimidated by the voice of one small woman. One small woman in your family background, your hometown. One small woman as landlady threatening your life. If it calls for 1 week prayer, pray. 1 month prayer, pray. 1 year's prayer, pray. 10 years prayer, pray. 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 Don't be lazy. You are not God. He knows when to give you the victory. So put your hands together. Pray, 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 pray. Be a stubborn Christian. Be so stubborn that when the devil tries to turn you inside out, he cannot. Let him be confused that he cannot make you sorrowful or depressed by what he's doing. Just tell yourself, the next time we meet in church and praises start, my handkerchief will come out. I'm not going to wait for anybody to come and dance. And I'm going to dance as if I own the whole floor. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So let's get back to the word. So Elijah was afraid. Then he said, I'm no better than my ancestors. My ancestors fought it, they didn't work. How much less me? That's what he... And out of exhaustion, he went to lay down and he slept. There are some of you who can't sleep. Elijah was afraid, but he slept. I don't know why you can't sleep. Because this afternoon when I finish preaching and I get a good meal, and I relax behind television for a while, and the food sinks, I will sleep. Even if they are beating Manchester United, I will sleep. Even if Arsenal loses by 7-0, I will sleep. Even if the Black Stars of Ghana are defeated and knocked out of the LA, I will sleep. I don't like what you are doing. You're not clapping. You're not clapping. For me, the problems and my sleep are mutually exclusive. They don't overlap. They don't overlap. Do you know negative thinking can hike your BP? Do you know that normally those who suffer heart attacks, one part of it is negative thinking? And other things in their bodies which predispose them to that. Negative thinking. Wrong mindset. You wake up from morning and you are negatively thinking. Instead of playing gospel music, you are playing some kinds of music. And you are arguing for those music. I have problems with you. If you want to play those music at the foundation of your marriage, be careful. Play that which will make you win. Play that which will motivate you to trust God. Not one of those
things, I fall down flat. Oh, I didn't say anything. Hey, in ken neke musician ne len sun elala e. In ke ka ka cha neke no yeah outdoor in she sin ke maje ko majo. I fall down flat. Look at the song. Don't get me wrong. Those guys are amazing musicians. But you must stick to the word of God. You, is the word inside the song? So out of exhaustion, Elijah slept. But look at the beautiful thing. While Elijah was sleeping, an angel of the Lord came to touch him. If you are sleeping in church, it means an angel must touch you. So I'll call you and ask, where did the angel touch? And what did the angel say to you? With Elijah, the angel woke him up. And before he woke him up, the angel had baked bread. And it was freshly baked bread. It was hot and crispy. If you put butter in it, the butter melted instantly. Then, oh, come on, somebody say, how did I know? The angel prepared the food. Then he woke him up. There was fire by the side, so it cannot be cold. Then the angel had a bottle of water, because the man was hydrated. He had been walking for over 12 miles, 15 miles, depressed in a direction that he didn't know, running away from a little woman. Drink water. Tell the next, drink water. Drink a lot of water. Drink a lot. If you can't drink water, drink coconut juice. If you can, drink something, not aquatic, but drink something. Some of you don't drink anything. So you are getting dehydrated. And it's not helping your system. Your blood cannot, in the appropriate fluid, transfer things to other parts of your body. Because you are not taking food. And the angel, I believe the angel will wake me up and tell me that there's food by my side. If I brought it into Ghana, it's a Elijah, teaching Otima. We can take that into the Hebrew. So Elijah woke up. Heaven had prepared a meal for him. Can I suggest to you, a breakthrough has been prepared for you. So Elijah woke up and ate. Then Elijah slept again. Then the angel came back and woke him up and said, Elijah, eat again and drink again. For the journey that we're undertaking is long. It will take time for us to arrive at our destination. There are some things you're asking God. Within 2 hours, he would have done it. Others within 24 hours. But there are some others that may take a little time. And you must take more word inside you. You must get more anointing, more of the Spirit of God through prayer. You must take it in. Because you are supposed to have energy to travel the distance. Jesus said to his disciples, the spirit is weak, willing rather, but the flesh is weak. There's a period that your spirit must be strong to strengthen the flesh. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. May God strengthen you.
Oh, this one you must say loud amen. So, not one amen. I say, may God strengthen you. Mentally, may He strengthen you. Emotionally, may the Lord strengthen you. Spiritually, may the Lord strengthen you. Physically, may the Lord strengthen you. I say, financially, may the Lord strengthen you. Materially, may the Lord strengthen you. In anointing, oh, you are not saying amen. In anointing, may you be strengthened. That should be the more powerful amen, sister. Let the amen. Malaka Boda Hato Nima Wobobo. I say, say amen. You hear on your bachak and make a figure, Pastor Biantoni. The journey is long. From now to the end of the year, it is long. It is long. Those small, small dining table prayers will not carry you far. Missing some services will not help you. Subtracting yourself from the fastings and prayer of the church will not help you. Join the services designed to add to your life. When there's a marriage seminar, don't subtract yourself. You will waste the time at home. You will waste the time. But when you sit in that seminar, you will learn something that even though you may not use it, others will benefit from you. You'll be able to save lives, save marriages. Don't waste your time. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Allow the Spirit of God to fill you. Allow the anointing of God to fill you. Allow the understanding and the wisdom of God to guide you. Because the way is long. Elijah, arise and eat. True vine, arise and eat. Oh, shout amen, shout. It's the word. It's the word. That's why we teach the word. Eat it. Why is God bringing to our knowledge the issue of discouragement? Because He knows there's discouragement ahead. Do you know the most painful thing? It's to pay rent. Then after 3 months, the landlord says, consider the tenancy appointment canceled. Take back the rest of your money. You know, Ghana, before you go to the courts, the person has poured sand in front of your house. Are you getting what I'm saying? Fill yourself with your word. With the word of God. Fill yourself. The Bible says your fathers ate of the manna or the bread in the wilderness and they perished. But I, Jesus, I have come to give you bread of life that you will eat in this world. And it will take you to the world to come. Eat the bread. Drink the communion wine. Gather energy for the future. Today, we have come to take energy from the communion elements. If you believe, divine energy will fall on you. Shout and clap. Mayonde rebeki astaya. Ayele rebeki astaya breke badunda rabakaya. No longer shall we be sick. No longer shall we be weak. No longer shall we be discouraged. No longer shall we feel oppressed. We will arise out of the dust. We will arise out of the ashes. We will arise out of the setback. We will arise in the grace of God. And we will arise in the anointing of God. For the way, the journey is long.
those who run in athletics and do sprint, they just need some 10 point something seconds or 9 point something seconds. So they sprint, then they stop. Then they sprint again, then they stop. But the people that do the steeplechase, they are the people who go round the bushes, the center of the city, and they come into the stadium and go round some more. They need more energy. Some people's energy is for the sprint. By the time you say, pat, they have finished. But others, is endurance. You need energy. You need energy for the Christian race. You must not backslide. You must not backslide. Pastor, don't be lazy. Don't say, pastor, when I touch this, it doesn't work. And when I do this, I don't see the profit. So these days, I cannot come to church. Don't be lazy. Don't be a lazy Christian. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. In conclusion, after the angel of the Lord gave Elijah bread and water, Elijah finally ended at Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. You remember we have studied about it before on a weeknight late last year. You can go and look for the message. Mount Horeb is known for its unique characteristics, and one part of it is called the Mount of God. All these events, the fear, the running away, the discouragement, the ideations of suicide, Lord, take my life away, all eventually took Elijah after he ate the bread and took the water to the presence of God. Your challenges must take you to the house of God. Your frustrations must bring you to the place where there's preaching and prayer and worship. Your setbacks must not draw you away from God, but they must make you persist. If your child is not doing well, whether in school or at home, persist in prayer. One day the prayers will pay. Persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. You know, I used to work in the university, and I've encountered many bishops, prophets, pastors who bring their awards, and they have money to take their awards abroad. There's one particular prophet. He takes the children of his late in-laws. He has four children plus his own children plus his wife. He takes them all abroad into one country, puts them in hotel, feeds them, and let the children go to Disney, and he brings them back. But his first son cannot go beyond senior secondary school. His performance is abysmal. And this man can see into the future and tell you ditto what God is doing. So he's frustrated that he has prophesied for some people's children and they have gone ahead. But his child cannot. And he said, Reverend, tell me what to do. I have everything that I can take my child abroad, but he must just pass this exam for me. I stood there. He said, sir, it will be okay. I didn't know what to say. One other servant of God he saw me and said, Reverend, I pray for children in my church who come from deprived areas. Some are from Nima, others are from Newtown, and others are from other places. And these children didn't go to any privileged school. But when they write the senior high school exam, they pass and they transition to the next level. But my son cannot pass mathematics. And for 7 years now, he's been marking time. Say, Reverend, what shall I do? I said, I'm sorry for your pain. Let me figure out what we can do. Do we find a private teacher for him? Let's find out what we can do. You don't know the things that frustrate people. You may think they have money, but there's something small. And if your child is doing well and transitioning from one level to the other, I want you to clap the clap you have never clapped unto God before. When they speak that way, then I look at my family when I was bringing forth girls. I say, hey, oh, for you, I'm not going to. Hey. Hey. Then one will say, no, me and your sister go, hey. So I started praying. I continued praying to God's glory. Although we are still marching on, I will say I am pleased with what God is doing. Oh, you are not clapping to rejoice with me, to thank God. A relative, his son has done the first year of the university for 10 years. He's been transferred to 3 schools. He's not being able to finish. So even if your child got a third class, don't frown. If your child had a pass in the university, don't act as a mediocre pass. Hey, clap for your child. So you people, you are not clapping. The people here, they... So you are not... Congratulate them for finishing. Some died. They couldn't graduate. Some were sacked. They couldn't graduate. Some went off their minds. They are in the mental institution. But your child was able to write the exams. Now we are making children dodge and tell lies. When you ask those who did the basic school examination and say, what did you get? If they got something like aggregate 18, they tell you, oh, I've forgotten. One person told me, I said, look, I can remember my O-level results. You got your results last week. You are telling me you are forgetting. Come on, tell me the truth. Then he mentioned a very high aggregate. I congratulated him and I prayed over him. Sister, some of the chemistry the children are working, you when they are doing the national maths and science quiz, listen to the question and try to answer one. Answer one. The things they are doing are more difficult than what we were doing. We need to encourage one another. We bash the black stars too much. Oh. We criticize the black stars too much. And every time we say, let's change the coach, we have changed 10 coaches. Have we gone forward? In a place where there's poverty, there's envy over appearance fees. Very soon I'll be collecting high appearance fees elsewhere. If you don't want to be blessed, then that is the nature of the game. There are some musicians who are claiming that when they appear, it is now £100,000 sterling. You may criticize the politicians, but be measured. Be measured. Be measured. That's why you won't hear me saying all kinds of things from the pulpit. You know, look, this one is like the other one. And the other one is like the next one. I have taken my heart out of that zone. I pray for the country, but I don't want to be discouraged. So don't discourage me. Only a few of you, when I finish preaching, will you say that, Pastor, this message was for me, and it helped me. You just pick your back and go, it's business as usual. I'm not waiting for it. I encourage myself before I come here. For those of you who are kind to me, you will never lose your reward. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. You will never lose your reward. Never, 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 never. Encourage your children. There are diplomats who will look for the best teacher in this country and pay in foreign currencies. Bebo obile ishe gota to gota be cha chaskele be enye toni se be e cha lokoto be e ke moko zumru ke be 6 miludu be Some of you, the worst one is even bluffobola. Ash. Pastor Razak, I like the way he laughed. I don't know what is inside bluffobola. I said I'd finish my message. In fact, there's more on my paper. Can we rise up? And at least encourage God and encourage the preacher by clapping and shouting. That's all. That's all. Oh, you are not clapping. Hey. Today we are going to the Lord's table. And all we are saying is, Lord, as we partake of this communion bread and communion wine, may you strengthen us, give us revelation, grant us energy to walk the walk of faith, that we might arrive at our destination and go to other places where you will ordain for us. Give us the capacity to wait for the best, that we don't rush for that which is not the best. The journey is long, but God will give energy. If you need energy, clap and shout. If you need energy, clap and shout. Let the miracle of good energy fall upon your life. Maronisaya. I bless these elements. Those online, get your elements. I declare this is the body of Christ, which was broken for us. We will take, we will eat, and it will do us good. I declare this is the
blood of Jesus Christ, that the communion wine acquires the properties of the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood, the grace of God, the capacity. Let this meal help us not just live in this world, but let it help us live for you that we qualify for heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that night, after Jesus took the bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat. And as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death." You do show the Lord's death means in Christ dying, we live. In Christ's weakness, we have strength. And although he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty, thank you, that through his poverty, we might have riches. Today is your day. It's an appointment with the Lord to bring supernatural energy, vitality, strength, anointing, supernatural empowerment, increase in wisdom, increase in understanding, increase in the spirit of might and power. Weaknesses shall flee from our bodies. Ailments shall disappear in the name of Jesus. Yavavandiri vikisaya. Faradi singing editatapa. Yamamandiri vikia basuna kayabataya. Mokonduro bro shelere babatikataya. Yamamandi singataya broshtelere babakia. Moyo sikitaya bra. There are two layers of your communion items. Peel off the first layer to give you access to the wafer, which is now declared the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord strengthen you, strengthen your business, strengthen your investments, strengthen your vocation, strengthen the works of your hands, that you shall not be weak and discouraged. Strengthen your hand in your marriage. Strengthen your hand in raising up your children. Strengthen your hands in ministry. May the Lord strengthen you in your academic pursuit. May the Lord strengthen you to achieve your goals and pursue your purposes. May you not travel and fall sick. May God keep you. May you not travel and your car crashes, your ship sinks, and your aircraft falls to the ground. I declare there shall be no explosions in the vehicle you travel with. When you move from one destination, you will arrive safely, and you will come back safely with testimony. Shout amen. Let's partake of the body of Christ. That night, he lifted the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." He says, "As many as drink this, they have eternal life." Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and partake of it. Feel strength. Strength for your heart. Strength for your lungs. Strength for your kidneys and liver. Strength for your large and small intestines. Strength, strength, strength. Strength in your breast that will resist cancer. Strength in your prostate that will destroy cancer. Strength. Mental strength, emotional strength. From the Lord. The Lord bless you.